Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 19, just one verse in Galatians, and one, two, three, looks like about four pages of Scripture. So we better get into it. I got a lot of Scriptures to read, and I'm going to try to give as little comment as I can and just let the Scriptures teach you. Many aspects in the Bible that relate to our salvation. Many ways of looking at the product of salvation, what salvation involves, what it does, what it forms, what it creates, what it doesn't do, what it excludes. I mean, you kind of get the idea. There's more than just one way in the Bible of saying he's saved. There is always going to be a debate about who is saved, who's not saved. There's debates amongst individual people. Am I really saved? Does Christ dwell in me? Am I in Christ? Am I saved? Is it going to stay that way? People argue with each other about who's saved, who isn't, or you know, one group may say, well, you're not saved because, and another group would say, well, we are saved because of this. And what I'm getting at is the idea of salvation is simple, but yet there's many, many ways that the Bible illustrates salvation. And one of those ways is this idea of Christ dwelling in us. How does that even work? What does that even look like? I mean, do we have a little man in there, like the guy who turns the light off in the refrigerator when you close the door, or turns it back on when you open it? You know, we used to believe that there was a little man that lived in the fridge. That when he saw you shutting the door, he went click, you know. And when I was a child, I believed that until I found the switch. And it was activated by the door, and I went, ah, somebody lied to me. So what does that even look like, where Christ lives in us and dwells in us? Is it just metaphorical? Is it just a metaphor? Is it something that, or one of these anthropomorphisms? This is a way that God is using the things of man to illustrate higher truths about himself. But they're not really real. They're not that way. I think just the opposite. I think that God made the ways of man, the things that you and I know, as a shadow or a symbol of God's reality. Is it possible that one human being can be living inside another human being? Is that possible? It's not only possible, it's how we got here. All right? Let's read the verse. And Paul gives you the hint here. Galatians 4:19, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. And he's giving you the hint, the clue. Christ being formed in us, and I got a revelation from God. Oh, I can see it in the vision. It's Psalm 139. The phrase "I travail." Travail is it's not exclusively a birthing term, but it is heavily seen in the Scriptures as being related to childbirth. This goes back to the Garden of Eden. The curse that God laid upon Eve was, number one, your desire will be to your husband. Number two, in pain, you're going to bring forth children. In fact, let's start there. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and look at the curse. But, I mean, think about it. A curse of travail and childbirth. What's the blessing? The childbirth. The birth of a child. Ladies, you know that. All right? Really nothing greater that a woman can do than to produce it. Something man can't do is produce a child. Okay? We cannot give birth. So even in that curse, there is a blessing. he says in Genesis 3:16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, he shall rule over thee. So God issued forth a decree. Whatever it would have been before Adam and Eve's sin in the garden, whatever childbirth would have been like is unknown now, because Eve did not have a child prior to her sin. She had one afterward. And God said, I'm going to multiply thy sorrow. And I do not know what that's like. I do not know what it feels like to bring forth a child. Only a woman can know that feeling, all right? But the idea that inside of a woman is another human being living, and that's the idea here, until Christ be formed in you. Psalm 139, verse 16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book, think DNA, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And we know this. We know how it works. I don't know what knowledge the ancients had concerning the forming of a child in the mother's womb, but we know now what it looks like. It starts out as a tiny little globe. That's what it is. And inside of that cell is the nucleus, and in that nucleus you have 23 chromosomes from the father, 23 chromosomes from the mother. Those are the DNA packages. And so once those two have joined together, once the egg has been fertilized by the husband, by the male, then everything that is going to be of that human being is already written out. Life begins at conception. No argument, no doubt whatsoever, because everything that has life has DNA, and all that DNA is going to come forth one of these days. What's prophesied in the DNA is going to come to pass, and it's going to take time, but it's going to happen. So the members of the body are already written in the book. They just haven't been formed yet. Now go back to Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So the church is the woman, and the church is the womb of Christ's second coming. All right? He is being formed just like, and we're going to read Hebrews 10 in a minute, a body has felt prepared me, just like the womb of Mary was the formation area of Christ's body at his first coming, the church then, this is what this is saying, until Christ be formed in you. The seed has already been planted. Now, if you think, well, what do we do? You know, have you know what with God? No, 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 no. Mary, she had no union with a man. She did not have union with God, the way the Mormons say, or anybody else for that matter. The Holy Ghost came upon her just like those who are saved. The Holy Ghost, that which is conceived in us, has been conceived by the Holy Ghost. It's there. It's just there. It's just like a virgin birth. No other explanation for it. It's just there. If it's not there one day, it's there now. And that's the way it is when people get saved. Christ wasn't there one day, the next day, he's there. How did he get there? The Holy Ghost. The seed, of course, is the Word of God. The Bible makes that plain. And that's what he says here, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book. Seed is a book. All the members were written, which in continuance was fashioned and formed. Same idea here, same thing. Just like a child being formed in the womb of a woman, now Christ is being formed in us until the birth, which is the rapture. Here's another verse. This maybe kind of help you out with that, give you an understanding of it. Revelation chapter 12, we have a woman, and she is, let's see here, she is clothed with the sun, okay? We are clothed with the sun in that we have been adorned in Christ's righteousness. We have put on Christ, the exact words the Bible says. We've put on, not only does Christ dwell in us, we dwell in Him, okay? And He says that in John 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you abide in me, I abide in you. It kind of looks like a circle, all right? But that's how he described it. So we have the woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, upon her head a crown of 12 stars. She being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. My little children, of whom I travail in birth, again until Christ be formed in you. Verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child, it's Christ, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And it's Christ and his body, the church. Because Jesus tells one of the churches, I can't remember which one it was, that they would rule with a rod of iron. Rule all nations with a rod of iron. Well, I thought Christ was going to. He is. As well as his body, ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. Rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God. Same word, caught up unto God and to his throne. Same word that's used in 1 Thessalonians 4. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. In Latin, that word would be rapture. All right? So, and I'm not sure exactly what it is in Greek, but it's the same word, caught up. All right? So we have... we have the virgin going to give birth, conceived by the Holy Ghost. It is the body of Christ's second coming. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. And I know this is deep. And I know that you probably didn't get this in Sunday school when you were 14 or whatever. But I want you to consider now what the Bible is saying, what it's addressing, what it's teaching us about the church age, what's going on right now. The body is being formed. And at some point, the virgin is going to give birth. All right? And that's going to be Christ and his new body. The members are being formed right now. People are getting saved. All right? Hebrews 10, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. The virgin birth of Christ at his first coming produced the body of Christ that lived and was crucified and rose again. A body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hadst no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, Psalm 139, thy book. It is written of me, to do thy will, O God. So, above when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not. There's four things here. Sacrifice and offering, burnt offering, offering for sin thou wouldest not. Neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, think Old Testament, that he may establish the second, New Testament. Not renewed Testament. Not, well, it's the Mount Sinai covenant again. It's not it. That's like saying we're going to be resurrected and we're going to keep our old body. No. Or John said, I saw the new heaven and the new earth, which were basically the old heaven and the old earth. No, The old heaven and the old earth were passed away. No more sea. So, old body, done away with. New body, that's what's present. That's what can inherit the kingdom of God. Because flesh and blood cannot. Now, let's go to, and I'm going to just move through Scripture. So, Ephesians 2:15, I'm just going to read it. If you want to pause and turn there or get your Bible search software, go to click Ephesians 2:15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, his body of sacrifice was the law of commandments. That was the body of his first coming. Flesh and blood, a body made under the law, the Bible says. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. What does that of twain mean? Genesis chapter 2 is what it means. Verse 23, Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And in your King James Bible, exactly 46 words. Exactly. And 46 chromosomes. The male and the female joining those chromosomes together to make one flesh, one body, one new man. So, and even in Ephesians, I think the way Paul says it in Ephesians actually comes closer to, well, we're already in Ephesians, right? Comes closer to what he says in chapter 2 and verse 15, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And here in Ephesians 5, when he's quoting Genesis, verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Two is twain. They're the same thing. So they two shall be one flesh. It's not just the act of the husband and wife coming together and they now are joined together. They are as one person. Marriage is what portrays that. But there is a greater fulfillment of that in that through the joining of the man and the woman, you have a child now that really is the one flesh out of those two different people. It's beautiful when you think about it. So, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, the body of Christ's first coming is no longer required. It's not necessary because it performed exactly what it was sent forth to do. That's the word. What it was sent forth to do was kill the law. So here Christ comes in the form of the law, made under the law. And he kills the law at his death, at his crucifixion. That body is not necessary anymore. Done away. Now a new body. And that new body comes for to make in himself of twain one new man, soul making peace. And the one new man is Christ and his church together in a brand new form. All right? And who's to say that we're not really one body? Because even though you're looking at one body here, it is a conglomeration of individual cells. And those cells live of themselves. You pick any individual cell in my body, and it has a cell wall, meaning that it is separate from the rest of them. It has its own doorway to allow sugars in. It has its own mitochondria to burn those sugars to produce fuel, to produce energy. It has its own set of DNA, has its own set. It doesn't require DNA from any other cells. It has its own set of DNA. in that DNA, in that cell, is the same as in all the other cells. Think Bible. And it lives of itself. And if it dies, it doesn't kill the rest of the body. And if other cells die, that doesn't mean that cell has to die. You see what I'm saying? Is that even though I am one body, I am composed of individual, self-contained cells. It's the same way in the body of Christ, in the church. We are part of the body and will be in a future fulfillment, the absolute perfection of what all this is talking about. And yet, each one of us, we live and die in and of ourselves. If I die, that doesn't mean the whole rest of the church has to die. If I live, it doesn't matter if that doesn't mean all of the church has to live. I have my own Bible. And this Bible commands me to do what it commands me to do. And just because some other cell in my body doesn't look like the way God fashions me from the DNA, God still fashioned them from the DNA. You see what I'm saying? We don't all have to be alike. I love that. And we're not going to be. So, that's what he's saying here. To make in himself of twain, Christ and the church, one new man. Think of it like this. Twain. Old Testament. When I get my doctrine, I get it from the whole of the Bible. This is one new book right here. Let's move on. Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This one's not. This body's not. The next one will be. Colossians 3:10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. It comes from Christ. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 4. There's a lot here, and I've just basically pasted in verses that had something about the new man. Look at verse 4, 1 Peter chapter 3. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. What I don't have in my notes is... yeah, I do. I have it. 1 John 5:18. Turn there. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Very important distinction. This body that you're looking at sinneth. It was not born of God. It was born of Judy Hoggard. Milton Hoggard, my father, Milton Don, M.D., they called him Doctor. My new body was not conceived by my earthly father. It was conceived by God. That makes God truly the father of the hidden man. It's hidden just like a baby in the womb. Now, we have devices now that try to peek into the womb of a woman to see that baby. And in my lifetime, I remember the first time I took my wife for an ultrasound for our first child. I'm looking at that and I'm just going, they hit a button and all of a sudden they could see the blood going into our daughter from the umbilical cord. I knew a guy that called it the umbilical cord. The umbilical cord. And the computer then would generate red and blue areas showing the blood that went into that body and the blood that came out of that body. I was stunned. And I told my wife, I said, I guarantee you in our lifetime, in our children's lifetime, you're going to be able to see the face of that baby. Almost like a photograph. And that's where we are now. With the new computer imaging that they do with ultrasound, you can see the face of a baby before it's born. Having said that, for thousands of years before that, nobody even knew what that baby was going to be as far as male or female. Sometimes a woman didn't even know she was going to have twins. Okay? So the baby in the womb was hidden in every way. I mean, it was there, we knew it was there, but we couldn't see it. So read that again. First Peter 3, let it be the hidden man of the heart, just like a baby. And that hidden man sinneth, First John 5:18, sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Back to Revelation chapter 12. I mean, these are all tied together, aren't they? Revelation chapter 12, my mind just wants to go ahead and say it. I'm not there yet, but Revelation 12, here's the dragon standing before the woman, and he's ready to devour that child as soon as it's born. But God won't allow it. So the devil can't devour it while it's in the womb. Verse 4, Revelation 12, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it is born. Back here, 1 John 5:18, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. He's not able to get at that child. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So, the world lies in wickedness. This body is in wickedness. But there's a new man in me, a hidden man. And it's being formed right now, along with all of the other saints, all of us together. Remember, a woman who's bringing forth a child, she herself is composed of individual cells. We're the building blocks, the stones of the temple, as it were. All right? And I know I'm just throwing a lot of ideas out here, but they all, it's a thousand-piece puzzle. And the more pieces we add to it, the better image we're going to get of what this looks like. So, it's Christ is being formed in us. That is the body that's being prepared for Jesus' second coming. That body is going to be birthed at the translation. It's going to be immediately caught up into heaven. It is the new man that is made of twain, one new man. It is the hidden man, cannot be seen. And we kind of skipped ahead in my notes, but it never sins, and it never will. That's why it can be redeemed. It sinneth not. All right? And then Romans 7, verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's the hidden man and the new man that has been made of twain, one new man. It is the body being prepared. It is Christ being formed in us. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. It's in captivity right now. It's in this flesh body, surrounded by evil, wicked members. Oof. One of these days, this body is going to die, and that child's now free. It's going to be out there, baby. All right? 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know why? Because He's the Son of righteousness. And the Son is renewed every day. Every single day, the Son is renewed day by day. And so the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Think of a woman, and she's going to have a baby. The first 2 months are not that bad, a little sickness. But then after that, it starts to weigh down and bear down. And her back is killing her, and she has a hard time walking. She has to get up 20 times in the middle of the night, and on and on and on. And the closer she gets to the birth, the more miserable she is. Church, let's expect that. Because this travailing that I'm talking about is the suffering of the saints as we gear up for the rapture. there is going to be suffering. Just like a woman in travail. Christ is not beating his bride. I've heard some say, well, you believe Christ's going to drag his bride through the mud? I've heard that from different people, and obviously they've heard it from a singular source who did not get it from the Bible. Christ's not dragging us through the mud. It's the byproduct. It's what God said in Genesis 3 concerning Eve disobeying God. This is how it's going to be. Your desire is going to be to your husband. That's the way the church is with Christ. And I'm going to multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. Okay? So the sorrows are fixing to be multiplied. All right? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The baby. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The hidden man. Ephesians chapter 3. Boy, it's so beautiful. This cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. The inner man. Let the old man die. Think of Rachel, who when she gave birth to Benjamin, you know what Benjamin means? Ben is son of Yamin, it's the right hand. Ben Yamin, Ben son of the right hand. It's Christ who sits at the right hand of the Father. What happened when Rachel gave birth to Ben Yamin, Benjamin? She died. Okay? And they wanted to name, I don't remember how it works. The first name given was Benoni, all right? But it was changed to Benjamin, Benjamin, son of the right hand. Anytime you have a name change, this is important, we're going to see this in a minute. Anytime you have a name change, that's salvation, okay? It indicates that, or it indicates like the second coming. Think about this. Let me show you something out of Scripture. Out of Matthew, concerning the birth of Christ, that has never been fulfilled. Never. Will be. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Search the Scriptures. How many places was Jesus Christ ever called Emmanuel, except here? Never. Never, 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 never. During his ministry, during his life, when he was born, see, his name shall be, his name, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. But nobody, when he was born, what's his name? We call him Jesus. His name, the Bible prophesied it, swore that they shall call his name Emmanuel. But nobody called him that at his first coming. It's going to be a name change. He's still Jesus. But now they're going to call him God with us. Emmanuel. All right? Benoni to Benjamin. A name change. Sarai to Sarah. Let's see here. Let's look at that. Because we have a picture in our Bible, Genesis 17. We have a picture in our Bible of Christ being formed in the old man. All right? I remember, I love this. God just kind of slapped me with this one day. Mike, the picture of the hidden man in the old man is Sarah. We just read that verse, did we not? Yeah, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So here's the outward man, and it's Sarah. She's going to be given a child. But she can't have this child until something changes with her. It's the name. Sarah did not give birth, if I remember right. Yeah. Even before Sarah was called Sarah, when her name was Sarai and Abraham was Abram, Abram conceived Ishmael. Ishmael cannot inherit the promise given to Abraham because Abram hasn't been transformed yet, Sarah hasn't been transformed, and beyond that, the son of Abram, the old man, is not even from Sarah. It's from a slave girl, a servant, a bondwoman. So the child that she has is a bondservant as well. So that's important. Genesis 17:15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And the difference is, and this is interesting, that both Abram and Sarai have something missing out of their name. It's, you get that? It's the breath, the spirit. So now Sarai and Abram have the fifth letter, the Hebrew alphabet, injected into their name. They have the spirit in them. See how neat that is? Verse 16, and I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall the child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Very important that his name be changed, that the Spirit be upon both of them. Because without the Spirit, there's no life. And so this child now is going to be, it's going to be a representation of the promised son, which is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. Now look at Genesis 18. I threw this in here just so you understand that God did not give Sarah a child because of how good she was. God gave the child a promise to a sinner. Genesis 18:9, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? Now this is the Lord and two angels visiting with Abraham. And they're talking with Abraham, and where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. They are the old man. The Old Testament. All right? And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Her uterus ran out of eggs. Okay? That, I mean, that's the medical explanation for it. She's gone through menopause. She does not have cycles anymore. And she, her body does not have, women are given a limited amount of eggs. And that's, I think, determined at conception, if I'm right on this. I've never had any, so I don't know. All right? But she's gone past that time. And it's probably been years ago. Now she's 90 years old. We used to have women in this church that were above 90 years old. And I could, the frailness that's in their bodies, I would look and say, man, that was Sarah. Look at that. So, verse 12, therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And she's laughing, she's going, are you kidding? Me and Abraham have not had this pleasure for a long time. She's laughing, she's going, yeah, can you see me? And then she thinks of Abraham. Then she's really laughing, right? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. You see, and I've stood on this for years, since I learned it myself. God's gifts and His blessings are given to sinners, or else there would be no one to take them, no one to receive them. There are always people too good for God to give these great promises to. There's no one too bad. Okay? But God has to put His in you. You got to have the Spirit. So, and this is what's interesting. In Genesis 17, God makes the promise to Sarah. 4 chapters later, it's fulfilled. Genesis 21. It was 4,000 years from Adam that Christ came the first time. It's going to be 4,000 years from Abraham that Christ comes the second time. Think of Lazarus. How long had Lazarus been in the grave? 4 days. Surely he stinketh. My brother-in-law is a he's the county coroner, not the medical examiner. He picks up the dead bodies. And I went with him on a call one time. He needed help. We had a family get together, and he said, "You want to help me?" And I went, "Yeah, I guess." He said, "I'll give you the light stuff, okay?" He explained on the way over there, guy in a trailer court, no wife, no children, no family, nothing. Just lives by himself. The TV's been running for days. This is summer. It's in July. TV's been running night and day. The neighbors finally, after about 4 days, started smelling a smell coming out of the trailer. And they went, "Oh, no." So when we got there, the county deputy sheriff was there, and he was sitting out by his car because he was the one that made entrance, a welfare check. He had made entrance and discovered the body. And he said to us, as we're putting suits on and masks and gloves, and he says to us, "Unless you find a gun or a knife or a bomb or something like that, I don't want to know. I don't want to go in there again." If there would have been signs of foul play, yeah, somebody would have to investigate. But the guy just keeled over and died. The entryway to his bedroom, from the kitchen to the bedroom. And I can tell you, it was bad. The skin was already turning black. At one point, my brother-in-law said, "Well, I'm glad he's got clothes on." And I went, "Do I want to ask?" And I said, "Why?" He said, "Because he's already starting to come apart." Okay? That's the decay that takes place 4 days. And yet, Lazarus was made whole again. God has the cure for death, my friends. Amen? So, Genesis 21, verse 1, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, "God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me." He's going to turn our sorrow into joy. And she said, "Who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age." It is a picture of the old man and the new man living inside of him being formed. When I say him, I mean Sarah. All right? You can include Abraham and Sarah together. He's 100, she's 90. That's well stricken in age. The old man and a new man inside being formed. And when that, think about it, as it was in the days of Noah, floodwaters, right? What happens when childbirth? Here's what the Bible says about Abraham and Sarah and this event. Romans 4:19, "And being not weak in faith, He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Means he wasn't drunk. He was not drinking from the vine of Sodom, the poison of dragons. He was not being made drunk with the wine of her fornication, her false doctrine. He believed what God said, and he staggered not at those promises. He believed that what God said he'll do, he'll do. He believed it. Staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. That's how he went to heaven. He believed God. That was his salvation. Romans 9:9, for this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son, the old man, and the new man being formed in the old man. That's salvation. Now, Mark chapter 4, you can look at Matthew 13. The idea of Sarah giving birth, bearing fruit, because the child is the fruit of the womb. Nine fruits of the Spirit. 9 months that child is in the womb. So think about this. Salvation and bearing fruit. They are the same. That's, again, another aspect of looking at salvation. Here it is with Sarah in childbirth. It is with us. The fulfillment of our salvation is the new body that's being formed by the seed of the Word of God. Being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so, the seed that's sown into the earth, and remember, we are the earth. That's where we came from. We are made of dirt. So God takes his seed and plants it into us. And what does he want it to do? Bring forth fruit. And if it doesn't bring forth fruit, what does God do? Cuts it down, casts it into the fire. It's plain and simple. This is what our Bible tells us. Now, so in, let's see, the explanation of this parable. In verse 20 of Mark chapter 4, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Fruit bearing is the sign of salvation. No fruit, no salvation. Or corrupt fruit, no salvation. Corrupt trees cannot bring forth corrupt fruit. All right? So, let's see, where does that take us now? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. It was done through faith. Conceive seed, the word. And was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised, even though she laughed. When she denied laughing, and the Lord said, no, you laughed. And about this time next year, according to the time of life, you shall give suck to a child. You'll bear a child. And you know what? She believed him. She believed him. She saw that God was serious. And even though she had denied him, even though she had mocked him, she had laughed at him, and she lied about it, she believed that God's word was faithful. And that if God said he'll do it, he'll do it. Now, let me keep reading Hebrews 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful and promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Spirit bodies, just like the angels. Okay? Now, I'm going to deal with one more theme related to this, because I think it's very important to understand. Since I've spent all this time setting this up, you understand that the church age will continue because the body is being formed in the womb, the soul of the church. When it's time, in the dispensation of the fullness of time, when a woman is in her ninth month, she is full. We always say, you look like you're about ready to pop. There's no more room for expansion there. Okay? The skin has expanded. The hips have moved away. They've expanded that birth canal so that child can be born. I mean, everything is ready now. Just waiting for the days of Noah. The travail and the days of Noah and the waters of the flood, the Bible links them together. Very important to remember. Because no travail, no birth. No birth, no salvation. My little children of whom I travail in birth again. Now, take that. 1 Thessalonians 5. I mean, we know this passage, right? But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now, just because we may not know the day and the hour, when we look at the woman who's 9 months pregnant, we go, if I were you, I would not go too far away from home. If I were you, I'd make sure that suitcase is packed. If I were you, I'd make sure you have arrangements for somebody to feed the dog, somebody to take care of the other kids. Okay, we had, by the time our second child came around, Lisa and I had a plan. We had a plan that, you know, her brother and sister-in-law were going to watch our oldest daughter, either that or her mom and dad. No matter what time it was, we had that plan. And when my wife jumped up and said, I think my water just broke, immediately the plan is in action. Okay? And so we had that planned out. We didn't know when. We just knew it was going to be soon. So people, my brothers, my sisters, let us not be ignorant of the days that we are in. I mean, we may be in the eighth month, but the eighth month is awfully close to the ninth. And when the ninth gets here, there's no telling when it's going to be, but it's going to be soon. So that's how I see this rapture. It's going to come. We may not know the day or the hour, but we know the times and the seasons, don't we? It's common sense. So, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. So he links it here with this birth and the travailing woman. The woman is about ready to give birth. Now, in the Bible, there's two women, two babies that are going to be birthed here. One good, one bad. So, we know that Isaac is the good child. But there are bad children born in the Bible. Children who represent the man of sin, the son of perdition. 1 Samuel 4 is an illustration of that. In verse 19, we have the daughter-in-law of Phinehas, who's with child. She's in her ninth month. And his daughter-in-law Phinehas' wife was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, because something was taken out of the way, and there was a falling away that took place. Eli fell backward and died. Think about it. Before those things happened. After those things happened. Very important. She bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken. Ichabod. She travails. Ichabod is born. The man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed. All right? You see that? So, we have a woman travailing with the body of Christ. We have a woman, probably a harlot woman, travailing with the man of sin, the son of perdition. Where does he come from in Revelation 13? Out of the sea. What's in the woman? What's in the woman's womb? Seawater. It's salt water. Almost identical salinity factor, salinity percentage, as seawater. God illustrating that for us, giving us that understanding. A child being born is just like the beast rising up out of the sea. Isaiah 13:6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. Identical phrasing here. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce angle, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. You take that, Isaiah 13:10. You have Matthew 24. You have Joel chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. You have Revelation chapter 6. All of them speaking of the exact same event. The sun being darkened. The moon either not giving her light or being turned to blood. The stars withdrawing their light. Some of them falling. Same event. And then after that is the Son of Man appearing in the clouds. Then, Isaiah 54. Beautiful passage in the Bible. It's one of my daughter's favorite passages. She lives of this place in the Bible. Isaiah 54:1. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Think of 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. You have a man who is this? Elkanah. You have Elkanah who has two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. He loves Hannah more than he does Peninnah. But Peninnah is the one producing all the children, and Hannah's womb is barren. And so think about this. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. That's Hannah. And then verse 6. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit and a wife of youth. When thou wast refused, saith thy God, for a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. She's going to give birth. The breaking forth of waters. In the travailing, time of the travailing woman. John 16:21. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. That's Christ. That's what I believe. We are going to go through a time of travail, pangs overtaking us. But it's for a purpose, so that new body can be brought forth. That this is how God designed it. This is not how I'm making it up in my mind. This is how God said it was to be. Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. See, Paul himself is going to link this with the rapture. And not only they, let me turn to Romans 8, but not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. And, I mean, I'm not going to continue to read here, but you read Romans 8. You get this area here. Let's see here. It talks about groanings and this and that and the other, but it's, here it is, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And that's that new man. That's Christ. And the rapture is associated with this event. We're going to groan and whine and moan in our travail. And we're going to be in much sorrow. And then the new man is going to be revealed. We won't be sorry anymore. We'll be joyful that this happened. Let's see, am I done here? Yeah, I think I'm done. That's it. That's it. You understand it now. You have full, complete, total understanding of everything that God's going to do, right? So, maybe I've introduced to you something that you have never even considered before. So, let this then encourage you to go do your own study. Take the verses that I have given you here and write them down. Then you go read all of those places again and read circumspectly around them to make sure that I'm not just deceiving you by pulling one little verse out of a group that really says something entirely different. Or these are things that have been in the back of your mind for a while and you really wasn't sure how to fit them together, or even if it was right to do that, because you never really heard it before. It wasn't taught to you in Sunday school or Vacation Bible School or Awanas or whatever you used to be a part of. You never heard this in, you know, the backyard Christian club we used to do stuff like that when I was a kid. Wasn't something that you were taught in seminary, and yet, here it is. Black and white, there before you. The appearing of our Lord in the air and the rapture of the saints is associated with this new man being revealed to the world for the very first time, but also that other man being revealed as well, the man of sin. So you take this in and you say, Lord, is what he's saying right? All right, that's what I want you to do. So, and then we're going to look more at Abraham and Sarah, and because there were two children conceived by Abraham, one cursed and one blessed. There were twins, and I had this in my notes, but there were twins in the womb of, who was it, Rebekah? Two manner of nations in her, one a beast and one not. That's what Esau was. So you know, that kind of fits into it as well. She gave birth and which one came first? Which child was born first? The beast was Esau. Had hair all over his body like fur. What does that tell you? Anyway, take this, run with it, or just keep it in your heart and ponder it and meditate on these things and let God just kind of visit with you through all this. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing that God's going to do. Absolutely glorious. Can't wait. It's good to be with you today. You're the reason why we do what we do. Thank you for all your prayers, all your support. We couldn't do it without you and the Lord. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.